In the 13th century, the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick II did an experiment that was recorded by a monk in that time who didn't like him, actually, but the monk wrote that Frederick encouraged foster mothers and nurses to suckle and bathe and wash the children in his experiment, their babies, but in no ways to prattle or speak with them, for he would have learnt whether they would speak the Hebrew language, which he took to have been the first, or Greek, or Latin, or Arabic, or perchance the tongue of their parents of whom they had been born. But he labored in vain, for the children could not live without clappings of the hands and gestures and gladness of countenance and blandishments, which blandishments are a word we don't understand, but it's kind of just encouragement to do what you want them to do. So, we don't do those experiments anymore. All right? It's an unethical experiment, right? Because these children did not receive love. They all died. So if I'm talking to you today and you understand me, it is because you have received significant love in your life at some point in your life. There is nobody here that can understand me that did not receive love. We require love to exist, to function as human beings. And if we don't receive that love, our development is so almost irreparably degraded that we can't function in human society. We have all experienced love as babies, at least, or you would not be here this morning. We require love to exist and to grow. As a baby, you were loved. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a very familiar chapter, but let's turn to it. 1 Corinthians 13. When you are doing public speaking, you're supposed to have your stuff already marked out. I did not. Okay, here we are. Let's just read this all out loud together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So preachers often get up front and they say, I really appreciate the songs. It really spoke to me. It really felt like it fit well with the sermon. And I think to myself, you maybe made a connection somehow, but I'm not quite sure how it was, right? What was the first song we had this morning? Clifton. Come let us all unite to sing God is love, right? Okay, so this, I felt like there's a legitimate connection here. I can actually say that, all right? That really goes with the sermon this morning, okay? All right, this morning I'm going to try using note cards here for some of my notes. I use note cards now for my job, and I really like it, so we'll see how that works. I'm not sure how well it's going to go. So we're going to start at the beginning of the passage. I'm going to kind of go down through like I normally do, just give commentary on the verses, and then have some points at the end for us to think about. Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And that means, and I would think, you know, the tongue of men and of angels, the rhetoric, the capacity to put string words together, make them sound really good, having a really excellent way of moving your voice. And there is something good about excellence in speech, all right? We don't want to get away from that. You should give your public presentation your best effort, all right? I don't want somebody getting up here and thinking they can just slop it through and it's okay. However, you can have the most polished, precise, pointed presentation, and yet, if there's nobody behind that presentation that cares, it's just noise. It's just dong, dong, dong. I could go and just ring a bell for all it mattered, right? There's a saying that who you are stands behind you and speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say, all right? And that is true. Without charity, without love, without a care for the people that you're talking to, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to impact them. It's not going to profit you at all. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, here we get to some things I would really like to be able to do. Gift of prophecy. Can't prophets like determine what's going to happen if you do this or if a group of people does that? And they can say, okay, so this nation over here is pulling this stunt, and I can tell you that that's not going to work for them the way they want it to work out. So because they're doing this, then this is going to happen to them. And you can check in 2 or 3 years later and see if that actually happened or not. All right? Prophets are people who are wise enough to look into the future, and they can tell a person, a group of people, or a nation, they can tell them what's up. I think that's really neat. And I'm a bit of a sucker for people that can act like prophets, even if they're not. And I've learned to watch them a little carefully because I'm like, oh, here I go, I'm a sucker again. You know, I don't think that they actually know what they're talking about. Some do, but lots don't. So, one of the problems with prophecy is that we don't actually know all the pieces to the puzzle. So if you're playing a chess game, Aaron can tell before I can when a chess game is over because he's prophetic that way. All right, he's played enough chess games and he's good enough at it, he can prophesy how a chess game is most likely going to end up. Walt might catch him with a free queen move sometimes, but it's most often not going to happen, all right? Most of the time, that chess game can be predicted very, very well, but not perfectly, because prophets don't know everything. What about knowledge? I would love to know more about the world and how it operates. Knowledge and wisdom are so interesting to me. Why do we do what we do? How have patterns from older generations influenced us today? How does that knowledge translate into how we are influencing the generations after us? Listen, you do things today that probably your grandparents or your great-grandparents influenced you towards, okay? This stuff is amazing how it goes. How does that work? I think it's really interesting. But you might be able to predict with perfect accuracy how this knowledge all works together in one system. But if you don't like the people using it, or you don't like the people underneath it, nobody cares, and it doesn't really do you any good. People of deep faith are a wonder to me. These people can pray up a church or a mission movement by just having faith. I watch some people just start stuff. I'm like, how do you do that? They get on their knees, and they pray, and they talk, and they pray, and they sing, and they pray, and they talk some more, and all of a sudden, you've got like an organization of, all of a sudden, 10 years relatively, or all of a sudden, they've got an organization of like 50 people or more with donors. How do you do that? I don't know. I think it's really neat. Yet, if you know so much and you can't talk to anybody with humility and interest, what good is it really? What good is, what's the benefit if you're a counselor and you can counsel people right down to the last hair of what was wrong in their background and what trauma they've experienced and all these other things that have gone on, but you don't like them? What good does it do? What good does it do? And what good is faith if the man or the woman of faith has no feelings of warmth for the people inside their organization, inside their movement? They're such a person of faith and are so driven to get things done for the Lord that they can't even enjoy those who have helped them move it all up through. What's the point? All right? While God can use people like this for his glory and to further his kingdom, listen, he can. God uses people of all stripes and sizes, all kinds of things. Okay. They don't receive the benefit. It doesn't say that it was nothing, that it was not a good idea. It says, I profit nothing. I get nothing out of it. And I think I have missed some real blessings in my life by simply not being open to the love of those around me towards me. I am nothing. The point is to be someone. And how do we be someone? We be someone by loving people and receiving love in return. That is what it means to be human. That's what it means to exist in a group of people, is to love and to be loved. I am nothing, or I am someone. And that being someone has to do with love. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Again, the prophet is not talking about the benefit to other people. If you give your stuff to benefit the poor are benefited, all right? They have food. They have water. I need water. All right? They get something positive out of it. Just because you are not benefited does not mean they are not benefited. But that love and that joy and that warmth does not come into your soul. You are a performer for the world and for God. You do not enjoy what you have done for other people. It profits you nothing. All right? But it profits them. That's a problem. So what does it take to love? How do we get that? What kind of person must you be to be a loving person? Verse 4 says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Wow. We're laying straight into this thing. We're not pulling any punches right off the bat. Okay, this is stuff we need to think about. Let me think here. There's two pieces here. Verse 5 has that same idea, so I'll get to that as far as suffereth long. But charity means that you are a person. If you can put your name in here instead of charity, you can say Isaiah's dad. What's Isaiah's dad's name? Caleb. All right. I heard it the Friday night, but I forgot it. You didn't say it this morning. You said you're Isaiah's dad. All right. Can we say Caleb suffers long? Caleb is kind. Or can we say, Seth? is not easily provoked. All right? Okay, when you put your name in here, make that thing personal. Can you suffer for a long time? Can you be someone who doesn't envy your friends? We got lots of opportunity. There are so many facets to life. I remember at one point in my life suffering what I felt was devastating situations, and it was. I was trying to get married, and it wasn't happening. Nobody wanted me. And it was a problem, all right? And it was hard for me to go through that. It was a expectation of society of what I thought I was going to do in my life, and it wasn't happening. And I realized that almost everybody, faces something in their life that is a personal sorrow and disappointment to them. There are so many things you want to happen in your life, you're gonna miss one of them. It's not gonna happen. And so that's also true that as you move through life, your friends and some of your enemies will have things that you wish you had, whether health, prestige, position in the church, all kinds of stuff, wealth. There is plenty of opportunity today to envy. I missed kindness there, didn't I? Don't forget kindness. Just a gentle spirit of not being mean. You can say lots of mean things, and this is something that everybody has trouble with. Just being kind. You can be 3 years old and have trouble being kind, all right? Everybody. Everybody. Vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth. I don't think I've heard the word vaunteth for the last month outside of a biblical context, okay? Vaunteth is nothing we use anymore. Lifts yourself up, puffs yourself up, pushes others down. That's what charity does not do, okay? Charity is an equal. Charity is willing to suffer as an equal. Charity does not suffer as a nobody. When people come out of abusive situations or unhealthy situations, often there's ups and there's downs in their relationship. So there's somebody who's always up, and somebody who is always underneath them getting stepped on. And there's always this fighting back and forth, and sometimes they actually switch positions. But that's not a healthy relationship, okay? In a healthy relationship, we are equals, all right? And we work together as equals. So this is what, and although we do harm each other, we also forgive each other as equals, not as people below or people above, okay? This is where we're at. Charity does not lift itself up and push others down. It is not puffed up. Now, that's pretty easy to understand. Puffed up is not puffed up. And this is not natural. This is not how we normally are. This is not how we come out of the womb wanting to be, okay? We learn charity. We learn kindness. We learn how to be godly, all right? We learn this to be mature, all right? And I just want to say this. This is something we can do. By the grace of God, we can learn to be equals, even though that's not how we were raised or that's not what we ended up being like. We can learn this. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Do you get, well, you're kind of glad when you hear something negative about people? Just feels like, see? I will say that can be a problem of mine. I don't want to be like that, but that's not what God wants from us. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, we've got to be careful with this verse. This is a powerful one, but it's like a case knife that's just been sharpened, all right? It cuts really careful, and we want to be really careful with this verse so we don't cut too far, okay? We want to be careful we don't cut so hard that you don't go from being equal or you think you're somehow above everybody
to somehow thinking that this is the ideal, that you should be below everybody. That's not the ideal. If you are puffed up, this is where you end up in a biblical and godly context. You come down with everybody on their level, not below their level. Okay? This thing is a tough verse. It's a good verse. Love bears all manner of evil. It takes the things that other people do to you and forgives them as an equal. They did not have to do that to you, and they did it anyhow. Do we have love for our enemies, for those who wish us harm for whatever reason? We might be a pawn in their game that you don't even know about, and they realize they have got to push you down so that they can move take another move up. That happens. Can you forgive your enemies? Can you bear your enemies? Can you endure what your enemies do to you, or sometimes what your friends do to you? That's the hardest thing. Your enemies are one thing. It's another thing to have friends that do things to you. Believes all things. Love believes the good things that others aspire to do. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, what I really want to do, what I want to become is this over here? And you're thinking to yourself, well, yeah, you've got the star in your head, all right, but you're kind of down in a circle over here, you know? And this guy is looking up here and going like, look at that. That's where I'm going. And you're thinking, yeah, well, you're right down here, actually. All right, do you believe him? All right, do you believe him? That's hard. That's hard. But most of us started off aspiring higher than where we were and eventually made a lot of progress. But it takes love. Somebody needs to believe us, right? Somebody needs to say, yeah, that's right. Go for it. You can do it. It is tough to believe when others don't follow through very much. Love endures all things. Sometimes when they try and you get your hopes up and you hope that they are going to get there and they don't, it's just hard. And then they say, well, I'm really trying. And you got to believe them again. And it's hard. It hurts you in your stomach, okay? It hurts you in your stomach. And I do want to say again, I want to put this back in context. This verse is in the context of in the entirety of Scripture. This verse does not stand by itself. All right? We weigh Scripture against Scripture. This Scripture does not, this verse where we believe all things, we endure all things, if you took this one verse and you ran with it, what would you end up with? What book would you end up with out there? The Giving Tree? You ever hear the Giving Tree book? That's the book you would end up with. I don't like that book. All right? I don't like that book. Maybe I should get it so everybody knows what I don't like. But anyhow, it's talking about a tree that just gives to a little boy, and the tree gives everything he has, and then the boy never cares and is always a complete jerk, and I absolutely hate it. All right, but that's what you end up with if you go with this verse out of context. All right, we are not trying to make everybody into a doormat for everybody else. Okay, that's not the ideal, right? Being a doormat is not showing love. I got this on my card here. All right? A father that's manipulated by his children to do whatever they want, that's not love. A wife giving her husband whatever he wants and always taking the back seat, that's not love. A sibling that always gets the short end of the deal, that's not love. That's just being pushed down. That's being a doormat. That's not love. All right? When those things happen to you, or you allow them to happen to you without any protest or any concern or say, hey, that's not quite right, those actions spring out of a worldview that says, I am lower and lesser value than you. That's not love, okay? That's not love. Jesus was the perfect example of love, and he didn't do that. We'll get into that a little bit later, all right? Charity never fails, verse 8. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Love covers it all. People are the point. And how much we relate to them and feel them is the center of the test of our lives. That's all there is to it. It's not how much we know. It's not how much foresight we have. It's not how much power and prayer we possess and can use to good effect. That's not the measure of your life. The measure of your life is, do you love your people? Okay? Do you love your people? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. You just can't know everything. All right? Caleb was saying here this morning that sometimes when you know your passage really well, it's actually harder to talk out of it, right? Because there's so much you don't know. When I first got into computer programming, I was so excited because I was like, I can finally have answers. I had been in teaching for, I think, 2 years, anyhow. And in teaching, it's tough because you can teach pretty good, make some quick wins. And then, like, you know more about what you should be doing, so there's a bunch of stuff you don't know. So this circle represents all you, everything inside here you know. Then you run into a tough student that just, like, somehow gets you sideways, and you just can't get them. And so, like, there become, like, breaks in your knowledge, and it like, leaks out. And so, like, you kind of know this, and you kind of know that, but there's, like, stuff you don't know, and it's hard. And so finally I got back into computer programming, and I was like, ha, my circle is small again. I can fix whatever my problems are. Well, that's because I didn't have very many hard problems, right? And then I got to know more. I'm like, wow, I can solve all them problems. And then I got out a little further, and I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Here we are back again, all right? My model kept expanding, and as it expanded, I began to bump into reality. And reality is so huge, you just can't know it all. As you learn more and more and more, you begin to understand the limits of your knowledge. It's hard. We don't know. I was going to say we don't know anything. We do know things. All models are wrong. Some are useful, all right? And that's because our models are good enough to work, but if you try and push them all the way to the edge, it starts getting skips because we just don't know. We just don't know. We don't know everything. We know in part. We do know. Some people say, well, we don't know anything. Well, that's not true. We do know. But we know in part. We don't know it all. All right? And we prophesy in part. All right? There we are. Charity never fails. Whether prophecies they shall fail, whether tongues they shall cease, whether knowledge it shall vanish away. Again, prophecies, same way. Tongues, I don't have a whole lot to say there, but again, prophecies are not perfect because our knowledge of the situation is not perfect. We're playing a chess game where we can't see all the pieces. That's all there is to it, okay? That's why you can't predict with perfect accuracy what's going to happen. We know in part, we prophesy in part. Again, our models of the world are wrong. Some are useful. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We'll skip verse 10, put that down to 13. Again, that's when we're looking ahead to when we're in heaven. We're not gonna need prophecy. We're not going to need knowledge. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Children are more concerned about position than they are about identity. And as we mature, we recognize I am loved, I can love. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Again, some people know better than others, but even the wisest and the most knowledgeable person is still seeing darkly and not quite right. We're looking through the glass, and you can't quite see through it, all right? It's dirty. We see patterns, and we recognize what's going on, but it's just not right. We can't get there. There's coming a day, though, when it's all going to be right. When it's all going to be correct, all right? And now by the faith and hope and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, all right? And we know that's true.
But it's sometimes it's tough to just to know what's making us tick. Have you ever asked the question? Have you heard the phrase? Oops, that's not right. All right. That's a fish. I have to tell you. All right, I'm not a very good drawer. All right, here's a fish. If you want to ask somebody about water, don't ask a fish. Why? Because he lives in water. He has no idea what it is. All right? One old wise fish was swimming past two young fish, and he said, "Good morning, boys. How's the water?" And they said, "Good morning." And as they went past, one fish says to the other one, "What's water?" Okay? All right? Because he didn't know what water was, all right? And so you and I, we live in love, and we operate through love. We were raised, and yet we don't always know what it is, all right? And so this is just a small attempt to try and push that into perspective. So some thoughts about love. While you can give love, you can't demand love, but you can ask for it. You can ask for people to help you. Number two is love does. It makes things happen. Love prays. It suffers. Now, not always silently. Sometimes, you know, people suffer and they cry out. They say, "Hey, I have been loving you and you are not responding to me." That is fair. What did Jesus do whenever he saw Jerusalem? He said, "You know, you kill the prophets we've sent to you." And he cried, right? He cried. Jesus, he was the perfect example of love. He suffered. He had patience. He just about blew his stack a couple times, all right? He got pretty upset with his disciples. He was not happy with them. And yet, he was the perfect example of love. You can't look at anything Jesus did and say, "Oh, yeah, but I can do better than that." No, you can't, all right? He was the perfect example of love. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, and if we think that Jesus' example does not fit 1 Corinthians 13, then we're wrong in our interpretation of what 1 Corinthians 13 means. And that's why I get pretty wound up about the one where it says, charity suffereth long. Oh, no, hold on here. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. If you take that out of the context of who Jesus was, you're going to have problems. Okay? Jesus was that man. He did that perfectly. And yet you see him chewing out the people who deserved it. He also lifted up those who did not have opportunity. He also was careful and kind, and he did not blow out the coals that were barely simmering. He did not snap a reed that was gently broken, okay? He was careful, but he also let it fly at people who needed it. He was the definition of love. He told people off. He had a heart of joy and love for God's creation, okay? We can follow the example of Jesus with a full heart and realize we are doing the 1 Corinthians 13. We are doing it. And love takes time to learn. You don't grow up instantly in any case. All right? I've watched Luke grow up. He was small, and it took him years to get to where he is now. Years! Didn't it take you? It took you a while to get through school too, didn't it? But now he's through, all right? He graduated finally, but I'm just saying it takes a while. So if you find yourself snapping at your children or harboring resentment against your friends in your youth group or yelling at officials that you shouldn't be yelling at from the city, all right, it takes a while. It's not something that you just snap into and you just like, oh, you got the love switch and you just flick it on, you flick it off, all right? That's not how it works, all right? We grow, and we learn, and we develop, and we cry sometimes as we learn how to love. We don't grow up instantly. It takes a while. Who needs love? Well, we already established that babies need love, or they die, or they become severely disabled. Who else needs love? Well, children need love, of course,
All right? They're going to get very discouraged that they don't have love. I mean, we can see that. Who else needs love? Youth? Yeah, young people, they definitely need love. Yeah, you got to be careful how you love a 14-year-old young man. He might not appreciate getting a hug. You know, not always. You know. You got to be careful. It's a different kind of love, but it's still attention. It's still care, all right? And as you grow up and you're single or you're married, yeah, can you imagine a relationship where you're married and you have no love there? Well, that's ridiculous, okay? That's not, we need love. Leaders need love. Grandparents need love. Any old person needs love. If you don't have any children, you still need love. We need love in our lives. Everybody needs love, all right? So we can love, we can pay attention to, we can have warmth, we can build connection with everybody. We all need it. Okay, who can love? Who can give this love to other people? Again, everybody. And babies who have been well-loved are some of the most loving people there are. I remember one time I received a gift of love from probably a 2-year-old. I'm not sure, I didn't know her at all. It was a little girl in Belize, and I was suffering from a range of emotions and probably bad attitudes of my own part, but I had kind of got myself into a bit of a pickle in Belize. I was on the water program. I had been on 2 or 3 different places. I think we're my second or third place, and I was just not feeling good. I was feeling out. I was feeling hurt. I was kind of maybe homesick. I'm not sure what I was feeling, lonely. And I walked across the road, and I sat down against the wall with other people sitting against the wall, and there were people playing soccer in front of me or something. And this little girl walks kind of up to me and just sits down in my lap. And I don't know why. But I remember that because I needed some love right then. I needed somebody to connect with me. I needed somebody to just show me they saw I existed. And she did. And as a 19-year or 20-year-old young man, that meant a lot to me right then. I needed love, and I got it from her. Who can give love? Everybody. Children, youth, parents, leaders, grandparents, old people. We can all push out there. So when are we gonna be done with love? When are we gonna need love anymore? Never, okay? Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why? Well, because when we get to heaven, we're not gonna need hope. Okay? What is there to hope for when you already have all the things you want? We're not going to need faith because it's not going to be looking through a glass darkly. We're going to be through the glass on the other side, blessing God. We're not going to need faith. But love? We'll be loving each other, all right? Those friends that you had trouble loving in heaven, you won't have trouble loving them. You don't have to forgive them for anything. You'll see their hearts perfectly. It'll be fine, all right? Jesus will be there. And we'll just bask in the love of God, all right? It'll be wonderful. Now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three. But let's push on. Let's be the kind of people who grow in maturity and who love each other well and forgive each other well. And we can be a family here, the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, I stand here before you this morning, and I pray that the words I have said would stick, the good ones would stick with your people. And I pray that you would bless them, you would bless me, that we together, Lord, would be a family, and we would love each other well, and when we get to heaven, we could just be glad that we did this journey together of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.